scriptures, God's word. Psalms 97, 9 through 12. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hands of the wicked. Light is shed upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. So listen.
Father, we are here today to praise you. It is all because of you, Lord. You have the perfect plan. Your will is perfect in every way. Your attributes are perfect, O God. And we come to worship and praise you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us enough that you would send Jesus to redeem us back to you, that you would love us enough to fill us with your Spirit, O Father, and that you love us no matter what we do, before we were your children and after we were adopted into sonship, Father. You continue to love us. Praise be your holy name. As we come to worship you today, Lord, open our hearts and minds that we may see, and not only that we may see, but that we may react in the power of the Spirit to bring honor and glory to you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Children's Church, see you guys. Well, last week you didn't get to hear me. I don't know if that was a privilege or if that was a break, but you get to hear me this week, okay? So can everybody hear me all right? Okay. I'm loud? All right. That's what I get told quite often. Not as loud as you, John. Sorry. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, though, I talked about knowing God's will. And today we're going to talk about the mystery of God's will. It's not a mystery to us. You're going to find that out. It is a mystery, but it's been revealed to us through Jesus Christ because of who God is, because of His will and His plan. You hear people say all the time, I just wish I knew what God's will for my life was. Sherry even put that in our bulletin. We write it down. Contemplate, what is God's will for my life? Well, all you've got to do is search Scripture, and it's right here, because He wrote it down for us. It was lived through Jesus Christ, and it was given to us by Jesus Christ, by His death, His suffering, His resurrection. He paid the debt once and for all, that all of this mysterious will of God could be revealed to us. That we could know God's plan, and that we could be a part of that plan. That's what's so unbelievable, that God would choose to let us be a part of that plan. So yes, we've got to figure out the difference between His will and our will, and that makes you look at the back of the bulletin. The problem is not knowing God's will. It's the problem of struggling over whose will I'm going to listen to. Am I going to listen to my will, or am I going to listen to God's will? Because when I read this word, He tells me. His Spirit convicts me. So how can I go to sleep at night and be mad at my wife when the Bible tells me not to be? How can I not love my neighbor when the Bible tells me not to? How can I continue in whatever sin that I am in when the Bible tells me not to? God's will is obvious for the believer. It is a mystery to those who do not know Him, but it has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. We don't need to see any other signs. We search for that, though. We want that burning bush. Or we want to put the fleece out and say, Lord, make it wet. And then we say, well, that's not good enough. Make it dry and make everything else wet. We want that absolute perfect sign before we go, because we're afraid that God's going to tell us part of His will is give up everything you've got and go to some foreign country and eat bugs. Because that's what I want you to do if you believe in me. But that's not the case. You were born here. You were put in the place you're at for a reason, to worship Him, praise Him, and be a light every single day of your life. He may call some of us. I had the privilege of spending a little more time with Beth this time. And her story is similar to my calling. First of all, we had a man that saw something we didn't see, Lowell, that said, hey, God's calling you in this. And we're like, no, He's not. But then the more that we let our will be put aside and let God's will become apparent, the more He called us to serve Him, wherever that might be. Those steps took Beth to Romania, and when she got there, what she thought was going to be there wasn't even there. But it was still God's calling for her to listen and obey, and she's in a job that she adores now, that she has those blessings that God has poured out on her because she was obedient and followed His will. It was such a blessing to listen to her. She doesn't regret ever giving up her will to follow God's will. What a wonderful thought. God loves us so much that He gave us the most perfect sign. We don't need another, Jesus Christ. We don't need another sign to see His will. He loved us in spite of our sins, in spite of our shame, and He sent Jesus to die for us, to teach us, to empower us by the Spirit, to prepare for us a place for us to spend all of eternity as sons and daughters of the Most High King. What other sign do we need to look for? If we're looking for a burning bush all of our life, we're not paying attention. So many people say also, well, I just want to hear God's audible voice. And then you hear other people say, well, I heard God speak to me. Well, you know, if you were listening, maybe you would have heard Him even when He was whispering. Because He's speaking to you every single day. And it is a daily thing that we need to do. Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow Him. But we get caught up in this world and we forget that we've got to do that every day. Just coming into work today, I heard someone on the radio saying that we're sinners. And it's not wrong to teach our children that we are sinners. Because then we can teach them that every single day they need to get on their knees and repent. That they need to put their faith in God and trust His will. Because we are sinners, saved by grace, given the ultimate sign, Jesus Christ, who loved us enough that He would die in our place, redeem us for all eternity. So that gets me thinking about John 3:16. We hear the verse all the time. And we have such a multitude of information out there today that we can share. You don't have to watch YouTube videos to see this or that bad thing that's going on. You don't have to get on Facebook to spread gossip. You can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ by those methods. You can listen to sermons on YouTube. I fell asleep last night listening to one. It's amazing. Technology's out there, but we let the devil use it more than we use it. And there are so many Bibles out there. If you go to Bible Gateway, you can look down through, I don't know how many, 40 or 50 different ones. So I've got some different translations of John 3:16 through 18 for us to read, because it can just bring a little more light into how much God loves us. First is the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Next one I want to read is from the Amplified Bible. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave His one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in Him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes and has decided to trust in Him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this one, there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. But the one who does not believe and has decided to reject Him as personal Savior and Lord is judged already. That one has been convicted and sentenced because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. The one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, the one who alone can save him. New Living Version reads this way: For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever puts his trust in God's Son will not be lost, but will have life that lasts forever. For God did not send His Son into the world to say it's guilty. He sent His Son so the world might be saved and from the punishment of sin by Him. Whoever puts his trust in His Son is not guilty. Whoever does not put his trust in Him is guilty already. It is because he does not put his trust in the name of the only Son of God. And this is from The Voice. For God expressed His love for the world in this way. He gave His only Son so that whoever believes in Him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God did not send His Son into the world to judge it. Instead, He is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. No one who believes in Him has to fear condemnation. Yet condemnation is already the reality for everyone who refuses to believe, because they have rejected the name of the only Son of God. Hearing it different ways, maybe you can grasp how much God loves you, how deep and wide His love is. And He's loved you not since just before you were born, as the Bible says, but it also says He loved you before all of creation. He knew you. He predestined you. He had a plan. That's His will. That's His sovereign will. If you're not a Christian, it is a mystery to you. It is foolishness. And we're here to teach and preach the gospel message, which is foolishness to those who don't believe. But to us, it's been revealed. We don't need to keep writing down, what is Your will for my life, O God? His will is for you to every single day deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. To let Him guide and direct your past. To be a light to this world. To be seasoning, salt, and flavor so that others will not perish. Because they are condemned already. They face an eternity apart from God if they don't know Him. And we are the ones who are called to go to Jerusalem, then to Judea and Samaria, and then to the utter ends of the earth. It's our mission. It's our calling because of how much God has loved us. And that became so evident and just came to the pivotal point when Jesus Christ came and took our punishment and our shame upon His shoulders. He died and took our place and redeemed us back forever. Jeremiah 10:23, we read that last week, said, Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Now say it this way. I know that my life is not my own. It is not for me to direct my steps. Until you make it personal, it doesn't really mean as much, does it? But when you make it personal, you have to make the decision. Lord, it will be Your will or it will be my will. You can't put God's will into your will. You have to give your will up and take His will upon Him. And the burden will be easy and light. Jesus tells us that it will be. God's love is amazing. But Jesus had to tell His churches, those that were fresh and new, some of those that had seen and experienced, at least people who had seen and experienced Jesus' actual walk. And still, 75% of the churches that Jesus wrote to in Revelation, they still had issues that God had to address them about. But He still said, I love you. I stand at the door and knock. If you're blind, I have the eye salve you need. If you're poor, I have the riches that you need. You're only going to find these things through me. If you're searching your will, if you're going the ways of the world, you're never going to find that true peace, those true blessings. And you're going to be fighting God's will against your will. John 3:16 tells us how much God loves us. And to me, it was refreshing. I read more than that, but I cut it down to four so I wouldn't be here all day. But it's just so overwhelming how much God loves us. You might remember this verse from last week also, Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life. We don't have to live any of that old life. In fact, we're not supposed to. It's dead and gone. Why would we want to keep digging it up? It was gotten rid of. We were given the power to not do those things anymore. Yes, we're still sinners, and when we sin, we need to repent. Plain and simple. You may remember these verses from last week. It's some that I quote constantly to myself. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead, total opposite, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We see God's will mentioned again. And not only His will, but His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And if you remember, I told you you might write down three things. It was knowing, surrendering, and living. And John 3:16 says that all again. Sherry says, sometimes I am redundant in my messages. But that's what God's Word is. It's how much God loves you. He loved you enough to send Jesus. He bought you back with a price. Therefore, your life is not your own. Turn to any book in the Bible and you will see Jesus Christ in it. It's not redundancy, it's love. Passionate, amazing love. Knowing who God is, knowing that He is sovereign and in control. Whether you put Him in control or not, He is. Knowing that He has a plan for you. He's had it since the beginning of all time. Knowing that He loves you beyond measure. Enough to create you. Enough to buy you back. Enough to love you even as a spoiled, rotten child who continues to sin and put His own will above His. He still loves you. It involves surrendering. Total surrender. To know that your life is not your own. Your purpose is not your own. God created you because He loves you, but He created you with a purpose. And it requires living. Once you surrender, you don't just surrender and say, okay, God, I'll read Your Word, I'll pray. I know all that. I'll try my best not to sin and live by the Spirit, but it is a life that is living. A life that is called to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. You can't sit in your closet and pray and not go out and tell someone about Jesus Christ. You are to be the light of the world. You are to be a disciple, to go tell others of the love that God the Father has for them through Jesus Christ, His only Son. And you've been empowered by the Spirit to do that. That's God's will. It's pretty evident. It's not a mystery anymore. There is no other God like our God. He deserves our praise, our honor. He deserves our life. So the first thing is, are you saved? If you're saved, then you know God's will. If you're not, it is a mystery. And I beg of you today to seek God, to ask Jesus to come into your life as your personal Savior. It will change everything. But then it is a daily walk. It is a daily walk, a daily struggle of putting Him as Lord of your life. Now that He's your Savior, will you make Him Lord? Will you let the new life shine and bury the old life? Because it's dead and gone. Jesus buried it once and for all. You can't sin again after you've been saved and lose your salvation. And we can get into that topic later or whatever. But God, Jesus paid the price once and for all. He didn't pay a partial price. Yes, you're going to keep on sinning. And that's why He stands at the door in Revelation says He knocks. Because they were sinning. They had become lukewarm and complacent. And He said, just turn back to Me. I have paid all the penalty, all the price. You have been redeemed. You are white, righteous. You have been washed white as snow. Everybody likes a good mystery though, right? We try to figure it out. Was it Colonel Mustard in the dining room with a candlestick? Or who was it? We want to figure out things by our own power, our own might, our own abilities. You will not figure out God's will by your own might. It will not happen. You have no chance against a righteous, holy God like we serve. But He will reveal Himself to you. He wants to be known. He wants to be your Father. Jesus wants to be your brother. There is a plan for you, a will for you, and it's not your own. It's His. So that brings me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10 today. And it starts out this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people, it says saints in the King James Version, in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Work schedule's been a little busier this week because there's been all kind of things that pop up. We've had the pleasure of Barry being there some, but he's back at work now, so pray that that goes well. And we've had some changes. One change was the post office raised their rates Monday. Well, we have 25,000 listings on eBay. That means 25,000 things need their prices changed, because prices went up on average for everything that we sell about 65, 70 cents. So Jacob has been trying to make changes and stuff. So I've been trying to do the other things. So I get home and I'm tired and I'll read the Bible and we'll go through devotions and stuff, but I didn't have any idea where this sermon was going to go till Friday afternoon just before movie. I was driving home so that Sherry didn't have to drive in to help her with the food and stuff, get it in the car, and I was listening to Moody and I was listening to the March for Life, and thinking of all the atrocities that we have in this country, and we say that they're okay because it's politically correct or because it's legal. We've got to be a light, people. We've got to stand up. Killing babies is not right, whether it's legal or not. Amen. Slavery wasn't legal it wasn't right when it was legal. We've got to stand up and be the light of this world. So I didn't have any idea where my sermon was leading. I was looking at all those things, and Sherry's like, oh, he's going to teach on abortion. But God just brought me back to His will. If we were following His will, we would be the light to this world. We could make a difference. But when we're struggling with our own will because we think we're blessed because of material blessings or things that God has blessed us with but don't see those spiritual blessings, then we're missing out. And God's will is not a mystery to us. As these verses say, it was revealed to us through Jesus Christ. If you're saved, God's will is not a mystery. You've just got to dig in and search, and He will reveal Himself to you. In my own life, I can even use it as a testimony, because I serve about the same amount as I used to serve. But when God's will for me was to pastor this church, I said, wait a minute. I don't know if that's my will. And I struggled with that. And then He said, whose will are you going to do? Are you going to do yours or mine? You say that you'll give to me, and you give to me, but you still hold this back, or this back, whatever it may be. And when I said finally, not my will, but thine, the amount that He opened Himself to me through revelation was incredibly different. He wants to show Himself to you, but He wants to be supreme. He wants to be your God, no holding back. You can't lock this particular room out of your heart or your life, or say, I'll give you this as long as this happens. You've got to say, I am willing to do whatever, God. Nothing really changed in my life. I was preaching some then. I got to preach more. Yay! I'm still serving. But there is a big difference from that day when I said, God, I'll give you whatever you want. He didn't send me off to Africa to eat bugs every morning. I'm right here pastoring this church that I love. Wow, what a loving God we serve. But He wants to be the center of your heart. So let's look at this passage a second. Paul's writing it, tells us so. Who is Paul? He's an apostle. Of who? Christ Jesus. Why? How? By the will of God. We're talking about the one who set out to destroy the Christian faith, to kill anyone who professed the name of Jesus Christ. But by the will of God, he's not doing that anymore, is he? He's not worried about his life. He's not worried about his safety. When he's in jail, he's writing letters to the churches to give them peace, to let them know what God's will is. He's the biggest advocate now instead of the biggest deterrent for the Christian faith. All because of God's will. And he's writing this letter to God's holy people, or as the King James Version says, saints. Not because of anything you've done, but by God's grace, by Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. By your faith, you have become saints. It's a free gift. You did not do anything to deserve it. You never can, you never will. But we're called saints. We're righteous. Some manuscripts don't even include the words to the Ephesians. So this letter could have been a letter sent to all churches. Could have been a letter sent to Ephesians with the intent of sharing it with other churches. But the letter tells us about the life of a Christian and about the involvement of a Christian in God's church, in the body of Christ. And it tells us that the mystery of God's will has been revealed. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you. Do you understand that? You don't get grace and peace without God. You have the opposite of that. You have judgment and damnation. But we have grace and peace to you. From who? God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he's done. Now verses 3 through 14 are written as one big long sentence, but we're going to stop at verse 10. Because remember, we put in the punctuation and the verses and chapters and so forth. So when you're reading God's Word, study it through and through, with and without. Read it from one point to the other. When you see a therefore or a but, go back and see what God is saying. But he writes this next section in one sentence because it's a, kind of the culmination of what God's will is, his sovereign plan. It's been there from the beginning of creation, and it's going to go all the way through till the end of time. He knows what's going on. He has a plan. And guess what? Each and every one of us is a part of it. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God the Father would love us enough to send his only Son to die for our sins, to do what we could not do. Praise be to him who has blessed us. He wants to bless us. He doesn't want to take things away from us. We think if we follow God's will, I heard this so much in youth group. I understand what you're saying, and I believe what you're saying. I see that God loves us, but if I accept Jesus Christ right now, I've got to change. You know, they were right. They do have to change, and they need to see that in us so that they don't think, well, I can just accept God and be a watered-down Christian, and all is fine. That's not fine. They need to see a change in us and see that we are so much in love with God that they want what we have. In the heavenly realms, wait a minute, we live here on earth. But Paul says we fight a spiritual battle. We're not just about what's going on this planet. It has a cosmic scheme. Angels even come to protect us, to watch over us, to bear witness to us. We see that throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, to announce, to bring out God's judgments. There's a heavenly picture going on here, not just an earthly picture. Things that we can't see or comprehend. With every spiritual blessing, you lack nothing. You are complete. You've been given everything you need. And if you seek God's will, you'll be blessed with every blessing you could possibly imagine. And how is that possible? In Christ or through Christ. That's the only way that's possible. You can't figure out who did it, in what room, with what object. You can't figure out God, but it will be revealed to you once you've accepted Jesus Christ. Because God chose us, verse 4. In Him, before the creation of the world, not just in your mother's womb, as Scripture says, but before the creation of the world, He chose you. He had a plan for you. He sent His Son to die for you. To be holy and blameless in His sight. Well, Ephesians tells us not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His grace that He saved us. We don't do anything to make ourselves holy and blameless except accept Jesus Christ. We're still sinners. We still will sin, so don't beat yourself up. But when you do sin, repent, turn to Jesus, and buy the spiritual things you need from Him through His Spirit. In love, that's why, for God so loved the world. He predestined us for adoption to sonship. When you adopt a child, you give the child, even though they're not your own, you give them every right and every blessing that you give to your own children. They have become part of your family. They didn't have a birthright to it or anything else. They became part of your family because you chose to adopt them, and God chose to adopt you, to call you a son or a daughter, to give you an eternal kingdom in heaven, to spend eternity with Him when you should have been separated from Him and face the consequences. Through Christ Jesus, no other way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in accordance with His pleasure and His will. Whew, I want to know God's will because it includes me. He loves me. He has a plan for me. Why would I not want His will over my own? To the praise of His glorious grace. We do nothing, but He gives His grace so freely. It's because of who God is. That's what the songs we sing say. Praise be to our God, for He is great, He is worthy, He is honest, He is true. His blessings pour out upon those who are His children and are not, and even more upon His children through Jesus Christ, which He has freely given us. It's a free gift to anyone that'll offer, that'll accept the offer, and the one He loves, all through Jesus Christ. Again, none of this would be possible if it wasn't for Jesus' obedience and Jesus' love, even to death. When He was betrayed by all of His friends and He was spit in His face, He still honored God's will. He still loved us. In Him we have redemption. We are bought back at a price. The price that was His life. Through His blood, because a blood sacrifice was required. A blood sacrifice from someone who had no sin, who knew no sin. That's the only way that the price could be paid for all of eternity. The forgiveness of sins, that's what we received. Not for just now, but for all eternity. How good would God's plan be if it was the fact that once we sinned again, after we were saved, we were lost again? How terrible that would be. But God's plan and will were perfect. We were covered by Jesus' righteousness. And we are robed with righteousness the same because we have accepted His free gift. We are considered without spot or blame in the sight of God because of what Jesus did, and we just have to accept it. In accordance with the riches of God's grace, we see Paul telling God's grace again, that He lavished on us. King James Version says abounds. If you were part of history and you were here in this country when we first came here, the woods probably abounded with wildlife. That means that everywhere that you looked, there were different kind of animals. You couldn't help but see them because the woods abounded with them. Saying the same thing here about God's grace. Just open your eyes. Because everywhere you'll look, you'll see God's grace abound. I hear so many times that, how could a loving God do this or that? How could a loving God not? He sent His only Son to save you. You're the one that's got to decide. You're the one running. You're the one fighting His will over your own. He's there doing everything He possibly can to show His love for you. With all wisdom and understanding. This is tricky, so this is where you need to read this without the verses and stuff. Either He lavished His grace upon us with all wisdom and understanding, or with all wisdom and understanding He made known to us the mystery of His will. You know what? It doesn't matter. Either way, it reads good, doesn't it? With all wisdom and understanding, He lavished His grace upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made the mystery of His will known. God reigns supreme. Even in the writing of the Scriptures, no matter how you read it, you see God's sovereignty and His will. According to His good pleasure, that brought Him pleasure that He could bring redemption to those who were lost, which He purposed in Christ. There is a purpose to His will, His plan. And Jesus Christ is the center of it. We would never know the mystery of God's will. We would never have the empowerment of the Spirit. We would never have forgiveness of sins if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Praise be to His name. When we read Revelation, we start out with all of creation worshiping God. And then we see the Lamb, for He is worthy. And creation worships Jesus along with God. Wow. What a perfect plan. What a perfect will. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. That means this plan goes all the way to the end that we can't see. Revelation starts out and says these things have to take place. And we want to sit there and say, oh, I don't know if I want to be these things. I want to believe in pre-rapture. I'll get it right. Because we don't want to be here when God is telling us, listen up, Christian, you've got to get busy because this is coming. I love you and I love everyone else. It's nothing that you've done. You're not righteous. So you've got to tell all these people before this end does come. Get busy. You don't know what hour that this is going to take place. I love you. Can you see that? Will you go tell that love to others who need to know that I am God and that I love them enough that my Son came to take away their sin, their shame, and restore them back to me? Paul tells us that we're given the ministry of reconciliation. It's our ministry. So God's will is that we give up our will and follow His will and tell others so that they can be redeemed, because He doesn't want one to be lost. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Because when Jesus Christ came, that set God's plan into the final stages. We don't know a time frame. God doesn't have the boundaries of time. But when Jesus came, that set everything into motion. Your sins have been redeemed. I have fulfilled my will to your pleasure that Jesus came and took away your sin and shame. Now tell everyone else, because the old life is gone. It has no power over you. Death has no power. Sin has no power. Follow me and I will empower you with my Spirit. You've got the teachings and example of Jesus Christ who bought and paved the way for you. So what will you do? Because the time is drawing near. There will come a time when Jesus will come back to judge the world. And we need to tell everyone that that day is coming. And if you look at this world, that's what I was thinking Friday for sure, still thinking today, that day is getting closer and closer. We are not a nation that's under God, that is considered to be godly. And it's a mockery when other countries say, that's a Christian nation, because our light is not shining the way it should. We need to stand firm. We need to have God's will over our own will. I've got to find where I'm at. I want to read it again. Ephesians 1 through 10. And just listen. Ask God to reveal it to you through His Spirit. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people or saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He has chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's not a mystery, guys. It's right there. You just have to decide, like Sherry picked out the pictures, I didn't, so it's a God thing again. You have to decide, whose will are you going to do? Whose will has control over your life? Is it God's or is it yours? God's going to reign supreme. And you will have to answer for what you've done. And if you don't do it besides that, you're going to miss out on the blessings that He has given you. What He wants to lavishly pour out on you through Jesus Christ. The word mystery is found 20 times in the NIV New Testament. You'd think mystery would be found the most in Revelation, wouldn't you? It just makes sense. It's found the most in the book of Ephesians. Because Paul is telling us, it's not a mystery anymore, guys. It's right here. Jesus Christ accomplished it all. And you can either take part in it and be the kind of person, the kind of Christian that God has called you to be, or you can miss out. There are no do-overs. But at any point in time, you can say, not my will, but yours, Father. At any point in time. At any point in time, you can say, God, forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart. I hear you. I will be your obedient servant. One more thing I want to point out from this passage is what we got out of this. This passage points out who God is, but here's what we got. Verse 2, grace and peace. Verse 3, He blessed us. Not only blessed us, but blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Verse 4, He chose us. Verse 5, He predestined us for adoption to sonship. Verse 6, His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. Verse 7, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Verse 8, He lavished on us. Verse 9, He made known to us the mystery of His will. Verse 10, to bring unity to all things. That's how much God loves us. Just looking at that scripture there, look at the things that He did for us as His children. He loves you so very much. Jesus taught us how to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. It says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, that You would love us enough to send Jesus Christ to make everything perfect, that Your will is perfect, that You reign supreme, to bring unity to all creation through what my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ did for me. Father, not my will, but Thine. Lord, be with us. Guide us. May Your Spirit empower us, prick our heart to know Thy will, no matter what it'll cost us, that we know that Your will be a blessing to us. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for empowering us. Words cannot express how great You are, our God. And we praise Your precious name through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.